ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Vilchan chapter 2 verses 40 to 44. Neha vikramana shosti, neha vikramana shosti, pratyavayona vidyate, pratyavayona vidyate, svalpamapyasya dharmasya, trayate mahato bhayat, त्रायते महतो भयात् नेहा विक्रमणा शोस्ति प्रत्यवायो न विद्यते स्वल्पमप्यस्य धर्मस्य त्रायते महतो भयात्। व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एकेह कुरु नन्दन एकेह कुरु नन्दन बहुशाकाहनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम् बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एकेह कुरु नन्दन बहुशाकाहनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम् यामि माम् पुष्पिताम् वाचम् यामि माम् पुष्पिताम् वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यविपश्चितः प्रवदन्त्यविपश्चितः वेदवादरतापार्थ वेदवादरतापार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः यामि माम् पुष्पिताम् वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यविपश्चितः वेदवादरतापार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिम् प्रति भोगैश्वर्यगतिम् प्रति कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिम् प्रति भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानाम् भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानाम् तयापहृतचेतसाम् तयापहृतचेतसाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते समाधौ न विधीयते भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानाम् तयापहृतचेतसाम् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते। Lord Krishna, in 39, he says, this is the wisdom of Sankhya taught to you. Now listen to the wisdom of Yoga. Endowed with which, O Partha, you shall cast off the bond of action. He is slowly shifting the gears from Jnana Yoga, Sankhya Yoga to Karma Yoga. And we discussed about this last week, that this shifting of gears from Sankhya Yoga to Karma Yoga is necessary from Arjuna's point of view. Because the fundamentals we must be clear and we must recollect here, that is, you are Atma. You are the infinite and not the finite. You are not aware of the truth that you are infinite. You are ignorant of the truth that you are infinite. And even though you do not know, and others also may not know about their true nature, the fact continues to remain that you are infinite. So there is nothing to do to attain something which you are not. You just have to remove the ignorance, then you come in contact with what you are already. So the solution here is not in doing, but the solution here is in knowing that you are infinite. If you are not rich, you are poor, you have to do something, earn money, and you can become rich. Doing will probably help you there. But if you are already rich, but you do not know that you are rich, you don't have to do something to become rich. You just have to remove the ignorance, then you come to know that you are already rich. So the solution lies in knowing. Jnanam is the only solution. Jnanam alone can help you, nothing else. But Jnanam can help who is prepared. If the charcoal is dry, then it can be made to catch fire. If it is wet, you have to dry it, then it can be made to catch fire. So Arjuna was informed, was given this knowledge, the Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya literally means explaining logically and arriving at a firm conclusion. You using logic as a tool to arrive at a conclusion. That is Sankhya. And Lord Krishna explained the, you know, truth logically from 11. He said, wise people do not grieve. Why they do not grieve? Because they understand about Atma. Atma is Satya. Atma is independent. Atma is permanent, imperishable, indestructible. Everything he discussed. Logically he explained. And then he said, even if you look at it from the point of view of as if it is going through birth and death, then also there is no need to worry. And even if you look at it from your Swadharma point of view, you being a Kshatriya, there also there is no confusion, etc., etc., was beautifully logically presented. And therefore he came to a conclusion, if you look at it through logic, you must fight in any which angle you look at it. Since Arjuna was wet, heavily burdened by desires, terribly preoccupied by his passions, he is not so much reacting to Sankhya Yoga. Therefore, now Krishna has to come down to Arjuna's level and give him the other method. So I said this can be looked at it from a different angle. You can say Sankhya Yoga was theory, Karma Yoga is practice. Now, he says, I will give you Karma Yoga. Endowed with which, what happens? By gaining this Karma Yoga, what happens? He says, by making your life a Karma Yogic life. It is not just understanding Karma Yoga. Understanding takes you nowhere. When your head understands, your heart is not feeling it, it's of no use. When your head understands and your heart feels, then your hands are employed in the spirit of Karma Yoga, then what happens? He says, then you shall cast off the bond of action. Wherein we discussed that action is coming from the desires, and desires are coming from the thoughts, and thoughts are coming from the vasanas. Each one of us have vasanas. When our actions are propelled by vasanas, then the actions further produces vasanas. If our actions are not propelled by vasanas, but they are executed consciously, identifying with Atma, identifying with a higher goal, then the very actions are exhausting the vasanas and not inculcating, producing new vasanas. Therefore, you reduce, go on reducing vasanas, you burn the bond of actions. Vedanta says, God plus vasanas or desires equals human being. God plus vasanas are within bracket, you can put desires. Vasanas are nothing but unmanifest desires. Desires are manifest vasanas. So God plus vasanas equals human beings. So then, who is God? Human being minus vasanas is equal to God. So Vedanta says, if you reduce your vasanas, if you burn your vasanas completely, if you do actions in such a way that you don't gather new impressions, and these existing impressions, samskaras also, gets burnt away, then what remains is only divinity. Right? You are divine, but covered by vasanas. Wo vasanas jab niklenge, then you will again realize the fact that you are divinity. So, the bond of actions will be removed by karma yoga. So, remember this 3H. Your head should understand what is karma yoga. Your heart should feel karma yoga. And your hand should work in the spirit of karma yoga. When your life has been converted into a karma yogic lifestyle, then you will get this benefit. Simply having understood karma yoga, nothing will happen. Because understanding and life ka jada farak padta hai.
I missed out. Head understands karma, heart.
Karma yoga. Head understands karma yoga, heart should feel the karma yoga, and then hand should function in the spirit of karma yoga. The coordination between head, heart, and hand should be perfect. Only then there will be this breaking of this bond of action. Otherwise you will be studying about karma yoga, writing thesis, and probably you get PhD or double PhD in karma yoga and all that. But as far as your life is concerned, you will not see any change. So what is this karma yoga? I told you, karma yoga has been termed as buddhi yoga here. It is not without a reason. Karma yoga simply means actions propelled by buddhi, not by your manas. Actions propelled by your buddhi, consciously directed actions, are called as karma yoga. Desires, manas is mind. When your desires are driving you, then the desires have no direction. Right? And that will push you into greed, etc. So, karma yoga is nothing but buddhi yoga, means conscious actions. The moment you are conscious, you become controlled. By forcefully controlling, you may not become conscious. But by consciousness, you bring control. Lot of people think by forced control, one can become conscious. It is by awakening the consciousness within, you become more and more controlled in your life and actions, activities. So he says, buddhi yoga. Karma yoga is nothing but buddhi yoga. So don't get confused. Why is he saying buddhi yoga? What does buddhi yoga mean? Buddhi yoga doesn't mean that you go on intellectualizing things, keeping your intellect backing your actions. That is karma yoga. We'll chant verse 40.
Neha vikramana shosti, neha vikramana shosti, pratyavayo na vidyate, pratyavayo na vidyate, svalpam apyasya dharmasya, svalpam apyasya dharmasya, trayate mahato bhayat, trayate mahato bhayat, neha vikramana shosti, pratyavayo na vidyate, svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat.
In this means, in karma yoga, in buddhi yoga, there is no loss of effort. The effort is not lost, nor is there production of contrary result. Pratyavaya, there is no contrary result. Even very little of this discipline protects one from great fear. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya. Even if you have very little of this dharma, what dharma? A dharma called karma yoga. Karma yoga is nothing but nishkama karma. I think we talked about these four types of karmas, right? Nishkama karma, then
we didn't?
Okay.
We talked about karma and karma yoga.
Okay. There is something called as nishiddha karma. Nishiddha karma. Then there is something called as kamya karma. Kamya karma. And there is something called as nishkama karma. The nishkama karma is of two types. One is nitya karma and the other one is naimittika karma. Naimittika. Nitya karma means daily routine obligatory duties. Nitya means daily routine obligatory duties. Nitya karma. Naimittika karma is special obligatory duties. Kamya karma is desire ridden actions. Desire propelled driven actions. Nishiddha karma is forbidden actions. Any action that robs away your awareness from you is nishiddha karma. For example, alcohol or drugs. Some people ask me, what is the take of Vedanta? What does it say about alcohol? Is it okay to drink or not? Vedanta doesn't have any say about any of these things. It simply says, if you find something robbing of your awareness, would you fall into a pit consciously? Nobody can fall into a pit consciously. If you are unconscious, sleepwalking, then you can fall into a pit. So if there is certain thing that goes inside your body which can make you unconscious, then that is forbidden for you. That's all. So you determine. Why do anybody commit sin and then go on regretting later on? Because at that time when they did that action, they were not aware. That's all. So here he says, in karma yoga, buddhi yoga, which means nitya karma and naimittika karma.
What is naimittika karma?
Naimittika is special obligatory duties. Like, you have everyday routine, daily obligatory duties. Something goes wrong with some friend, so you might have to go and take care of him in the hospital. This is special obligatory duties. So like that, in other words, just obligatory duties. Don't complicate it further. So in this, there is no loss of effort, nor is there production of contrary result. You see.
So that is the
nishkama karma. Nishkama is karma yoga. Kamya karma is desired and actions. Nishita karma is harmful actions.
Harmful
to oneself and harmful to others.
Karma yoga.
They are not part of karma yoga. Karma yoga is only nitya karma and naimittika karma. Kamya karma and nishiddha karma are not part of karma yoga.
This is all karma, but only nishkam karma is karma yoga.
Yeah. Only nishkam karma is karma yoga.
So nishkam karma has, I didn't understand this, nitya and naimittika. The difference between them is, in both you have no expectations of return. You're just doing what you...
Yes. Supposed to be doing.
You need to do.
But one is everyday routine obligations that you have. Right, but there are some things that happen suddenly, some obligation that comes up in between. You take that also. You don't say this is not part of my daily routine things, right? So that becomes your special obligatory duties.
You do that also with the
exactly that attitude. As far as the attitude is concerned, doesn't change. Remember the 5 A's we talked about. What are the 5 A's? Awareness,
attitude,
attitude, action, adaptation and acceptability. Awareness, action performed with the awareness of truth and the attitude of tera na mera, with bhavana, attitude of accepting the result jo bhi hai and adapting to the situation pleasurably. This is the karma yoga. See, action when coupled with the actor who has the right attitude becomes karma yoga. You know, it is the actor who can convert the karma into karma yoga with his pure attitude, which is come with awareness. As long as you do not have awareness, you will go about doing things for selfish reasons. Once you have awareness kindled in you, then there is an inner change to that extent, and the action that comes out of inside, there will be a change, which is you have no expectations. Jo bhi result aayenge, you accept it totally. Not waiting for preferential results. Now, once you understand this as karma yoga, this is karma yoga, then what is very interesting here is there is zero expectation. When there is zero expectation, whatever comes is profit. When there is expectation, and imagine, now to understand this, you look at karma, not karma yoga. To understand karma yoga, you get into the familiar area, which is karma. Karma is familiar to us, where there is so much of expectation. You do an action with an expectation. You bring up your son or daughter with expectation that after they grow up, they must be feeling grateful. Whether they do something for me or not doesn't matter. I am financially well off. In fact, if they want, I don't mind giving them, but I am not expecting anything from them. All I want is, I just want them to be grateful.
That is still expected.
That one expectation is enough to destroy your life.
Yeah.
Always, if you see, the complicated things happens because of one small expectation. Insignificant things bring about complex results. So, like Draupadi laughing at Duryodhana, brought them to this kind of a war situation. You understand? So like that, there are so many examples we can think of. So,
but in life, it's, yeah, we hear this, we are told we must practice this, don't have expectations. Okay, I'm not saying that you do every action with a...
Don't have expectations. If you are asking how to practice this,
again,
I'm telling you, just telling a person don't have expectations will not help. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Theory is important. We did mention this last week. Theory without practice is not going to bear the fruits. Practice without theory will not lead you anywhere. Both are important. So, pehla padho, listen, shravana, fir manana, right? Think about it, reflect, digest it. And coupled with all the other sadhanas that we have mentioned, your yogasanas, pranayamas, your bhakti prayers, everything brings about a certain changed attitude. Keeping good company all the time as much as possible and discussing these things. You take to the sadhana, then to some extent some attitudinal change comes about. With that you will be able to do karma yoga. Simply telling will not suffice.
Simply telling the whole world will have changed.
Absolutely. So, in this there is no loss of effort. When there is zero expectation, where is the question of loss? A fellow was lamenting that he had lost 5 lakhs. So he was terribly stressed. I had lost 5 lakhs, I had lost 5 lakhs in business. So the Swami was checking with his wife, what happened? Has he really lost 5 lakhs? She said, no, Swamiji, he's gained 5 lakhs. Then why is he lamenting? Because he was expecting 10 lakhs. Usko sirf 5 lakh mila. So he is agitated. If you have no expectation, and whatever you get, you feel rich. There is no loss, there is only gain. In this, there is no contrary result, contrary effort, nor is there production of contrary result. When your mind is propelling an action, when it is your desire that is propelling an action, and you have agitation, expectations, then you have agitations in your mind. When your mind is agitated and not calm, then what happens? Your actions are impoverished. When your actions are impoverished, results will be contrary. Unconsciously, we run after our desires. We either indulge or we suppress. Unconsciously, we either indulge or we suppress. Those who indulge, what happens? Supposing you go on indulging in your senses, what happens to you? You indulged in a particular sense. Temporarily you got satisfaction. But within few minutes or seconds or hours, you find the desires have multiplied. You are not satisfied with 100 anymore. You need 1000 of the same thing. Okay. And you again indulge, again indulge, again indulge. Now what has happened is, mind is expecting monumental thing in that area. So the desire is increased, it has become a conflagration. Okay. But by constant indulgence, what has happened to your senses? The senses loses their capacity to enjoy. When without control or regulation, a person indulges in senses, the senses become incapacitated. So as a man becomes old man, he becomes a frustrated lot, even though he had gone through a lot of experiences himself. Why? His desires have multiplied. It has gone to the conflagration level. But his capacity is not there. It's like a buffet meal is there in front of you. The Mexican, the Chinese, the Thai, the South Indian, North Indian, everything is in front of you, but you have no appetite. All kinds of sweets, sugar problem. That is what happens to person who contacts unconsciously. Remember this. When he goes on running after things without any awareness, when he is just propelled by his mind. So he may be seemingly achieving some results, but he is only going through contrary results. He is terribly agitated and frustrated. And not only that, he will lose the capacity to enjoy the world. See the contrary results that he produces. He loses the capacity to enjoy the world. The desires have increased. He remains extremely agitated. Lost his peace of mind. And when a person is agitated, nobody wants to be around him. When a person is happy, everybody wants to be around him. So he loses company also. He gets caught in a vicious cycle. There's a poem which says, laugh and the world will laugh with you. Weep, you weep alone. So he becomes a loner. Now come to Karma Yoga. You do conscious actions. You do contact, but not indulge. Right? So what happens is, your focus is not in the result. Your mind has not gone into the expectation. It is very much in the present action. Therefore, you fulfill the action also. You have not made the desire into a conflagration. Your desire has also been given a direction by which it gets exhausted. Your mind has also become calm. You are happy and prosperous and spiritually growing. Now come to the person who is suppressing the desires and not contacting. Unconsciously. Now he will also be frustrated. He will be not realizing that he is actually multiplying the desires to some unbelievable proportions inside. Right? And then he comes to a stage, he has already put up a show that he is not interested in all these things. But now, his desires are not allowing him to continue anymore. Now he can neither contact them, nor can he not contact. He is also terribly agitated. So what is Karma Yoga? Consciously contact. When you consciously contact, you neither lose the effort nor the result.
No, but when you are doing something consciously also, but because you have a desire, you are doing it. But you are saying because you are doing it consciously.
It's not the question of whether you have desires. It's a question of whether your desires are propelling your actions. If you say I am consciously acting, that means it's not my desire that is propelling my action. It's a little tricky to understand Karma Yoga, it's not easy. We will go step by step, I'll explain to you. And I'm just explaining this part. In this, there is no contrary effort or result. Yes?
Yeah, and consciously contact, you neither lose the effort nor
the result. The problem with a person who is propelled by the mind is, he is impatient for the result to come. He dictates term, how and in which fashion and when the result should come. But the person whose focus is only on action, he understands the nature has its own way of bringing the results. Everything fructifies in a particular time. If you want to have a child, you have to wait for 9 months. Like that story of the guy who cut the golden, the hen which was laying the golden egg. You understand? He will be like that, a person who doesn't know what is Karma Yoga, like any one of us today. We are just cutting it because we want it right now. He understands very well, the Karma Yogi, I will continue putting in my actions. Actions will have to bear the results. If it is not bearing the results, I need to continue putting in my efforts. His focus is on the action. Right? So, there is no contrary result or loss of effort. Now, you see.
So, Karma Yoga really teaches us patience strong.
Yes. Yes, Karma Yogi. See, the whole thing is very, very simple. When you go on the side of the mind, greed, jealousy, lust, anger, everything comes. You go to the side of awareness, the truth inside, introverted pursuit, vis-a-vis the extroverted pursuit. The introverted pursuit, you will see, you become more patient, compassionate, loving, caring, sharing, all these things. So if you want a person to grow spiritual, it is not the imparting values verbally and by understanding it, each one takes one value and then it's not going to happen that way. Such people may give up their values any day and encash. But a person whose awareness has increased, he cannot but be following the values. So, it is identifying with Atma and executing your actions. It is not propelled by the ego and its wants. Mujhe kya milenge? Therefore, I am doing this action. Kyunki, agar if I do this, I will get this. In fact, if you are told, by stop smoking, you can be healthy, you may stop smoking. Because you have a desire for health. Truly speaking, you have not conquered smoking in that category. That is also kind of desired. If your awareness has been awakened, then you automatically lead a healthy lifestyle.
And therefore you stop smoking.
therefore so, smoking.
Yeah.
Therefore smoking stops by itself. You are not stopping it or not stopping it. Anyway.
No, questions will get confused.
No, 1 minute. You see, is it possible to act without expectation? Comes a question. You say, oh sir, this is all very fine to talk, but a lot of people say, in practical life, I can't understand if there is something called as theoretical life. Who is interested about theoretical life or theatrical life? We are interested in our life. Our life means in practice, in daily life. Right?
Theory also, like supposing I have an agitation. At that point of time, if you sit down and you analyze and you realize that, okay, I have this agitation, but actually the agitation is coming because I expected this. This is my expectation. So even just knowing that makes the situation easier to handle, because you feel that it's not an external thing. It's my expectation which is causing my agitation.
What is the buddhi yoga?
So
that is buddhi yoga.
No, but it doesn't mean that the agitation will come again, but every time it comes, you keep telling yourself that, and it just makes it easier for me to accept that situation and not get as agitated in
absolutely
that situation, because you feel the situation outside will not change, but it's my attitude which needs to change, and it will, over a period of time, probably change.
Exactly.
Where you won't agitate.
In short, what you are saying is, this kind of reflection at every time is pulling you towards yourself.
Because whenever you
see what is happening, whatever you said just now, if you analyze, you are putting yourself, you are pausing and reflecting and taking you back towards you, not towards the result.
Yes, so it's first that you accept that, okay, what I am doing needs a change.
Exactly.
No, does it need a change, or do I not expect? I am doing something for soon. Doing it, like, you know, she asked me for something, I did it. She asked me again, I did it. Third time, I ask her for something and she doesn't do it. Then it hurts you.
That means you had expectations in
you. No, I mean, you, at least consciously, you didn't expect something.
That's a different matter. Whether you are conscious, it's not the question of whether you are conscious of cancer or not.
Yeah,
you have cancer. If you had cancer, your logic is, I was not conscious. That's a different matter. But without, this is what I am coming to. You may not be conscious, but deep inside there is expectation. Lot of parents, in fact in one of my classes somebody, I remember about, this happened in 1996 or something, after I finished my course in the academy and went back to Chennai, when we were doing this, when we were having group discussion, one gentleman asked me, he said, sir, I had, you know, spent all my money on my son's education. I'd even borrowed money for his education, yet I sent him abroad for education and all that. He went abroad, educated himself. He's earning quite well, but he's not at all sending any money for me or my wife, or he's not even thinking in terms of paying back that loan. I don't have money, I'm retired now, how do I go about? I'm thinking, I'm contemplating of filing a case against him. What is your suggestion? You see, this is a very, you know, this kind of question really touched me. I said, my God, you see, this guy is really into a situation where he's, you need to feel, you know, it's not just, you can't just like that answer from the head. So, this, if you analyze there, deep inside there is expectation.
But there is expectation.
1 minute, 1 minute. Don't jump.
No, I also feel that because he didn't have any money to repay. If he had the money, maybe he would have repaid, then he would not have been.
He even went to the extent of borrowing that much because he was very sure, that expecting that his son will pay it back. This expectation is what. Now, externally, whether you go and file a case and get it done, how do you deal with paying back that money is an external thing. I have always mentioned this. Deal with external thing differently. Inside ko dekho. Internally, why this man is agitated is my question. Are you with me? Let me tell you, if his son pays back the money, chalo, if this is your problem, I'll pay back the money, but I will never come to see you anyway, I will not even have you in my dreams. He will be terribly agitated. Today, this is the problem, therefore he is putting it like this. But I am only trying to tell you, externally, Even if the gentleman files a suit which is going to help him get that problem externally solved, I have no problem. In fact, I feel that if that is to be done, consciously do it. Like Krishna says, go consciously kill the fellows. You understand? If we have been studying Bhagavad Gita, what is wrong in filing a case against your son consciously, especially in this sort of a case? Where it was actually taken, you know, finally, whether you win, you may not win, that's all different. We don't know. You should file the case there also, you should be doing it without any expectations. Then there is more possibility of your winning, or even if you lose, you will not get agitated. But my question is, this internal disturbance, turmoil that that man is going through is definitely because of this expectation. Now, if you don't understand it and change, you continue, you say, oh, this is not possible, I'll continue to have expectations, then you will continue to have disappointments. The poem Pineapple and the Bee, the poet says, folly thy pursuit, disappointment thy end, thy result. If you have expectations, jitna bhi hai, small quantity of expectation is enough to see that one boon that Kaikeyi asked. Just that one boon. Finish them. The whole Dasharatha died. All sorts of things happened. You see, just one small expectation. Kya farak padta hai? You don't understand. One small lie, I said, what is a big deal? One little bit of escalation in my profit, I show. Aap kya farak padta hai? A lot of business people, I am told, I don't know, may think like this. Therefore, they fudge their accounts. So when the share value goes up, we have had cases in the history, even in the recent past, where people were exposed because of fudging their accounts. But how did it all start? Thoda sa fudge karo yaar, kya farak padta hai? Instead of showing it 100 crores, agar if you show it 110 crores, kya farak padta hai? So, it all starts like that. Small expectation. Small little lies. Then you find that it robs your peace completely.
That's why with the closer people you have, with an outer world, you're so happy. If someone does something also, you're very happy, very nice.
Yeah.
But with your own people, you have your relationship problems.
Yeah. Even if they do.
But they're doing so much, but that you have some much more expectations.
Absolutely.
By
pandering to your children, a lot of parents destroy them. You see, firstly, today the lifestyle is such that both of them are so busy. They may have their own logic and reason for it. Socializing, whatever it is, busy, busy, busy. They hardly have any time for children. When they come home, they're sleeping. When children go to school, they are sleeping. Hardly there is any time to be with children. So whenever birthday or anything comes, huge presentations, gifts to camouflage that what they have not given, you know. So the child doesn't understand. The next expectation is something else. And even if you give huge things, there is no. Here in a poor family, when he passes 12th standard, the father gives him one small mobile phone, which is costing 2000 rupees. The son is excited. If this guy, even when he has just passed 5th standard, and or sometimes when he becomes 21, a huge Mercedes Benz is given, S500. No happiness. He is in fact agitated. He fights with them. What nonsense is this? I was repeating a Rolls Royce. You understand? No, it's this is the problem. So the expectation may be small, however legitimate you might feel about it, but that destroys the whole thing. That is the spoil sport. So the question comes, is it possible to act without desires? Is it possible to act without expectations? What is your answer?
It should be like that after practice, maybe someday.
We haven't reached that stage yet. I haven't reached that stage. I think, I mean, we do, we have heard this, we understand it. What you're saying fully makes sense. It's not the first time you're hearing of it. But five times you do for somebody, sixth time you ask for something to be done. As she said, the closer net. You don't expect from outside of the door. You're very, very happy and grateful. Yeah. But we still live in this, I mean, at least I live in this world where...
See, remember this. Mm. From the periphery, it is not possible. When your action springs from the center, it is possible. And a lot of us who are only at the periphery won't even understand the depth of the center. So for us, we think it is not possible. Krishna is not talking about impossibility. He's talking about the possible things only. But it is not something that happens next day. So usually, the example given is, when, like for example, we are sitting and having a class here, and as you are writing down points, your pen falls down. When your pen falls down, the other person who is sitting next to you, who sees it falling, quickly bends down and gets it and gives it to you and starts writing her notes. Was she coming with such ideas that when I go to the class, if the person next to me, if he or she drops the pen, I should collect it and give it to her?
No.
No. But deep inside her also, if you see, supposing she gave your pen to you, but you never said thanks. At that time she was also busy writing down her notes, so she didn't even think about these things. But later on when she's going back to her house in the car, she'll be thinking, "Arey, I gave the pen to Sadhana, but Sadhana never said thanks." So deep inside there is expectation. Right? But if you continue actions like this with awareness, over a period of time you will see that there is action possible from that center where you can do it without expectation. Like how in nature, if you see, sun gives sunlight, no expectation. Flower blooms, no expectation. Cow gives milk, no expectation. You go to the rose garden in the Chandigarh, even on a Sunday, it's going to be as beautiful as ever. Oh, it's not going to say, "Today is Sunday, chalo, I'm not going to bloom, I'm not going to give fragrance." Every one of us have the shakti, the energy, the latent potential in us. You just have to be a witness and express it. But it is the expectation that spoils it all. Okay. Now this may be a very difficult concept to understand. So from a relative point of view, what Swamiji says is, he comes down to your level and says action is not possible without desires. Therefore what you do? Don't act with your desires, but pitch up a goal, give a direction to your desires, make it an aim, work for higher cause. A larger circle, not just for yourself. You have an organization, company, industry. You work for the welfare of the industry, not for just your profit. But there also there is an expectation that the organization should make a profit. Therefore he says, do it detachedly, and keep on escalating your goal. And finally, where does it go? If you see, it goes to the self, Atma. This is what I am saying. Work for the sake of Atma. So a lot of people put it this way. So they say, what is Karma Yoga? You are not able to conceive of Brahman, nor are you able to conceive of yourself being Brahman. Therefore what they say, you see, there are so many things happening in this universe. You see so many things being controlled in this world. There is some order, therefore it is being controlled. There is a policeman, so everybody is going following the rules and regulations on the road. Similarly, if this whole universe is functioning in a beautiful way, it is a cosmos and not a chaos, there must be some ordainer. And that projection of an ordainer is nothing but what? The concept of Ishvara. Concept of Ishvara is nothing but Brahman conceived by you. And then you say, I will dedicate my actions to Ishvara. To Ishvara. Brahman is something which you are not able to conceive. It's formless. Nor are you able to conceive that I am Brahman. I am Brahman? What are you talking? So therefore, you are told, conceive the ordainer, whom we call as Ishvara, and to him you dedicate all your actions. Work for a higher goal. Thus slowly, slowly the bulk of your desires go. Then you will be able to come to a stage where you will be able to work just with total objectivity. But whatever way in which you look at it, what they are trying to say is, from the center it is possible, not from the periphery. It is moving towards the center. So like you said, okay, now I understand, but I am not able to practice. So whenever you see the expectations, become conscious, subjected to awareness. Slowly, slowly you will see, you will be continuing to act, but expectations apne aap se nikal jayega. It is the question of, it's not condemning. Oh, why this expectation is coming? I'm supposed to be acting without expectation. That is wrong. You pitch up a goal and walk. Expectations aayenge. Let it come. Be conscious. Don't condemn it or criticize. You are told the same thing in the meditation also. When you meditate, any thought comes, don't condemn it, criticize it. However poor quality the thought might be. So now sometimes when you are, it's very interesting, when you are in a mandir, a very gross, sensual thought might come. You are just in the mandir. Why the hell this thought is coming now in mandir? Mind doesn't know that mandir. In fact, in such situations it can't come. More often than not, you are just supposed to be aware and witness. If you identify with it, so why are you coming? It gets strengthened. Exactly. So you understand the concept of working without expectation, and you work towards it. Let the expectations come. Let the expectations come. Start with Shraddha. Let the expectations come. Right? Be aware. Now, this is at the time when the expectations come. But generally also in your life, like I said, your sadhana must be continuing. Your shravana, manana, nididhyasana, your yogasana, pranayama, prayers, everything must be continuing. And when you do, pitch up a goal and work at the relative level. That time when the expectation comes, and whenever you are aware, if you ask, so what about actions which we have done with expectations but we were not aware, what can you do about it? It's like asking, yeah, I may not be conscious of all the dirts in my house, but little bit here and there I am able to see dirts. Whatever you see, immediately clean. Jab wo saaf karenge, jyada dirt you will be able to become conscious of. So when you become conscious of your expectations, be aware and continue the action, you may again slip into unconscious mode, but continue. Abhyas karo. There will come a time when you will be able to do action without any expectation. So when you do karma yoga, in this there is no loss of effort. We explained that. And there is no loss of result also. There is no loss of effort, there is no loss of result, no effort goes waste. A person who acts with kama, not karma yoga attitude, he does the action and he waits for the results to come. In fact, a lot of people, for example, Ramjita says, attach you lose, detach you gain. This is a law. Swami Ramtita puts it very nicely. He says, attach you lose, detach you gain. So a lot of people say, sir, I detached, but I am not gaining. They are not detached. Detach means what? You are not, you see, a guy is interested in a girl, his own relative. He said, I'm interested in marrying you. She said, go to him. He constantly went behind her, constantly sending SMS, phoning and all that. So somebody suggested him, Aray, if you want that girl to come behind you, stop calling her. Stop SMSing. Right? Stop going behind her. You carry on with your work. She'll come back. So he'll do it for 4-5 days, then uske baad he'll say, I tried this, she's not come. All these 4-5 days, he just stopped going behind her, but inside he's been thinking of her. He will not get her. It will not happen. Detachment has to be thorough, complete. Not until then you will gain. You can fool the world, but you cannot fool the law. All yourself. So, even very little of this discipline protects one from great fear. Fear comes from expectations, selfishness. I'm doing an action, I hope I'll get the result. I'm not even thinking of the result. Woh aayenge, theek hai. Woh nahi aayenge, phir bhi theek hai. Agar woh aa gaya, very good. Woh nahi aa gaya, phir bhi Krishna is telling me I should put in more efforts to get the result, to deserve it. Like Swamiji has written in the book Vedanta Treatise, he says, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. Right? I only know that at the moment I am not deserving it, I need to put in more effort to deserve it. But the person who is propelled by karma, he will say, hey, I have not got it. I hope I will get it. I hope I will get it. I hope I will get it. Do the action out of love for the action. Then there is no fear. When you are lustfully attracted to the other person, you are scared of losing the other person. Because you have reduced the other person into a thing. When you are lovingly, affectionately in relationship with the other person, you are not afraid. You are not terrified. Yeah.
When you have no expectation from something, you won't even remember the act or the action. Like, if you think just now, if only the things which you have expectations, there's a past and a future to it. That's why you have an expectation ki aisa kiya tha, aisa hona chahiye.
Exactly.
But in the things which you do without expectation, you don't even remember them. So actually at that point of time, it was only the present and it's over. You don't even remember.
Absolutely.
You don't remember it.
You remain in present forever. Eternally. You remain in the eternal present.
Right. Pardon? It doesn't happen with us all the time. Sometimes.
See, first of all, understand. The moment you have read Karma Yoga, immediately you will be able to practice Karma Yoga. Don't think like that.
It's a journey.
You will continue, you will slip. You will continue, you will slip. Even in the worldly level, you know, some of the things like, for example, ice skating. You will, when you go there, and you go to the ice rink and you see people, if you are just watching a show, all sorts of things he does. He's not, firstly for you, to even think that you can wear those, what do you call them?
Ice boots
or whatever. You wear them and even standing.
It's difficult.
You say, my God, this is impossible. But over a period of time, you will be able to comfortably walk. Then you will be able to
practice.
You know, by a little bit of practice. Then comes a time when you will participate in all sorts of things, you know. In the beginning, you would have said, Hari, this is impossible. So the point is, don't expect. Now, this is another kind of expectation. Oh, sir, we are studying these things, but I don't think so it is possible for us. Start. Doesn't matter if you fall. Swamiji says, fall like a rubber ball, not as a lead plate. When the lead plate falls, it stays put there. If you fall as a rubber ball, you will rise. So the point, that's what it is, conscious. And very interesting point is, when you work without any expectations, without any reaching in mind, right? I have to get there. Without any reaching in mind, then even the apparent stuff that comes and obstructs you is not an obstacle in your mind. River has come from the ocean. Water gets evaporated by the sun's heat, gets condensed, pours down as river, as rain, flows through the mountains and comes down back to the ocean. It is a natural thing that has to be going towards ocean. But river is not setting its goal, I must go to the ocean. So it is not expecting, I must get to the ocean. Jo bhi obstacles aayenge, it is not looking at it as an obstacle. Please remember this. River ko bhi obstacles aayenge, lekin from the river's eyes, it is not an obstacle. Why? Because it never had anywhere to go. The moment in your mind this is clear, there is nowhere to go, you will be able to focus to now here to go. But the very combination of words, nowhere to go, if you write it differently, it becomes now here to go. That's all. So this is all Krishna is trying to tell you. There is nowhere to go. You are already there. You are already that. Tat Tvamasi. That thou art. You are that. There is nowhere to go. So if you understand this, what will you do? You will allow your desires, your energies to naturally express, but consciously. You know, there was a great saint called Nagarjuna. He was a, you know, great intellectual saint. Now, he had a begging bowl. A queen was his great devotee. So, and he was all the time naked. He was a realized soul and he continued to be naked. And the queen was a great devotee of the saint. So one day she said, "Oh, that begging bowl you have, please give it to me as a gift. And I know you live on Bhiksha, so I'll give you another begging bowl. But I can keep your begging bowl as my reminder." So she took the begging bowl from Nagarjuna and she gave him the begging bowl with all the precious diamonds and all sorts of things in it. Nagarjuna took it. When she gave and he took it, inside she thought, "Are, he is a saint, he is such a great Swami, why is he accepting gold?" She thought about it, but she didn't ask him, she just kept quiet. Nagarjuna knew, he smiled and he never answered anything, he just continued. He was walking with his begging bowl, diamond and all that, made of diamonds and gold. So thief saw him, such a precious begging bowl this guy has, and he was following him. So Nagarjuna knew that this thief is following him for the bowl's sake. He is not interested in him. So as soon as he went to a nearby place, he went inside and threw the begging bowl from inside. He threw it outside towards the thief. Thief got it and he said, "My God, this man has thrown the begging bowl to me." So he was curious to meet him. So he went inside. "What sort of fellow is he? I thought he will go inside and he will sleep. Uske baad I will take away his begging bowl." So Nagarjuna was sitting inside. He threw the begging bowl. He took it. So he became curious to meet that man. So he went inside and said, "What sort of person are you? You are throwing the begging bowl outside?" He said, "Yes, I know you would come to take away my begging bowl, not to meet me. So I didn't want to waste your time. So I threw it. Not only that, I threw it because you can come and meet me. Because if I had not thrown it, you would have come inside, but you would not have met me, because you would have come when I was sleeping. But now that I threw it out, you became curious. You've come to meet me now. You've got your bone. So you want to know who this fellow is? So you've come to meet me now. So you tell me what I can do for you, he said. So he said, I think you are not a normal person. You are something deep. So I want to ask you this. I had gone to so many sages and saints, and I confessed my profession, thief. I am a thief. This is what I do. So I told them, please somehow get rid of, help me to get rid of this and give me the renunciation, the sannyas that you had taken up. They said, first you must give up your profession, thieving, stealing. Then you come, we'll initiate you. He said, that is not possible. I tried my best, that was not possible. So I could never get initiated. So now you tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm interested in getting initiated, but this is what I do. So he said, firstly, these guys who told you to give up your profession, they are all not really sannyasis. They were sannyasis, they wouldn't have told you to give up. So now I'm telling you not to give up anything, continue. But only one thing is, start stealing consciously. जब भी आप स्टील करेंगे जब भी आप यू नो टेकिंग समबडी एल्सेस प्रॉपर्टी बी कॉन्शियस एंड ही सेड डू इट फॉर 15 डेज एंड कम टू मी सो ही ट्राइड फॉर 3-4 डेज एंड फिफ्थ डे ही वेंट ही सेड 15 डेज इज नॉट नेसेसरी बिकॉज इन 3-4 डेज आई रियलाइज दैट आई कांट स्टील इफ आई एम कॉन्शियस इफ आई एम अनकॉन्शियस देन आई कैन स्टील आई कांट डू इट इफ आई एम कॉन्शियस. So what sort of a person are you? You are a tricky guy, man. You did not tell me to stop anything, but you made me conscious. Now I am not able to get back. So now you are ready for initiation. So this is the point we need to understand. You can't start with karma yoga. Okay, I have understood. Now immediately I will do karma yoga. Never happens. You will still continue to be karmi. But slowly with the sadhana that is being done throughout and when expectations come being conscious, slowly you will be able to convert your karmas into karma yogas. Because there is an inner change that is happening inside you. Jab wo inner change comes, then the outer action gets purified. So karma yoga is to do nothing with action, is to do with the actor. ये समझ लो, एक्शन को कुछ नहीं करना पड़ेगा, सिर्फ एक्टर को करना पड़ेगा. दिस इज व्हाट द होल फिलॉसफी ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज दिस. अरे व्हाई आर यू बॉदर अबाउट एक्शन पर से, किलिंग ऑफ भीष्म और द्रोणा. जब आप व्हेन यू किल, व्हाट इज योर एटीट्यूड? Action is not what makes you sinful. It is how you do it, not what you do. Karma yoga is not what you do. Karma yoga is how you do it. Once you understand this depth, then you will plunge into sadhana. You are not bothered about doing karma yoga also. Now, otherwise there is so much of tension. Oh, I have to do karma yoga. Another type of stress. As it is, there is so much of stress. Now you have stress of doing karma yoga. Simply continue doing sadhana. As the awareness intensifies, increases in you, you will automatically be doing karma yoga. Actions will manifest out of you, but consciously. So that is karma yoga. So in this, there is no loss of effort, nor is there production of contrary result. You won't even be looking at obstacles as obstacles anymore, because there is nowhere to go. You are not doing things to go. You are doing things out of happiness, not to attain happiness. When you do things to attain happiness, that is not karma yoga. A lot of us do actions to attain happiness. If I come to Bhagavad Gita class, I will get happiness. Finished. Khatam ho gaya. Not only you will not be happy, you'll make sure others are also not happy. So it is doing out of happiness. It is flowing. It's not even doing. It flows out of you. That's karma yoga. If there is a motive, like in Vedanta treatise, Swamiji says your motto in life should be to strive, to struggle, not to succeed. To strive, to struggle, not to succeed. Which means this: if you only understand, focus on that, know where to go. Know where to go means what? I don't do anything to get somewhere. When a nightingale sings, it is not singing so that it can put the neighborhood to sleep.
To strive.
It can be to struggle and not to succeed. So a nightingale is not singing because it will be appreciated by the neighborhood, or it can be of some use to the neighborhood. Even to think that I am a little bit of use to somebody else is an element of ego. The world is not in need of your service. World was there before you were born. World will continue to be there even after your death. So many Alexanders and so many conquerors have come and gone. Even Lord Krishna has come and gone. Buddha had come and gone. Jesus Christ has come and gone. So many people have come and gone. The world goes on. Like the book says, men may come, men may go, I go on forever. To even think that, oh, I have this talent, I must dedicate it for the whole world. If you go deeply and see, that is also ego. Simply express it. When you sing in the bathroom, whom are you trying to impress?
Yourself. No, you're singing out of
You're not even... You sometimes even... You know, it's very, very interesting. You are singing something, when nobody is around you, you are singing something. You are not even aware whether you are singing with tune, whether you are out of tune, nothing. You are just singing. Suddenly when you see somebody around the corner, you stop. When there is other person, when there is other person, and to who or to other I am doing, to that extent it is not karma yoga, if you go deeply. So what is pure karma yoga? When action emanates from the center. And that will not be so easily understood by people who are at the periphery. So remember always, Arjuna raised questions from the periphery. Krishna answered it from the center. So, by following this, even
no periphery.
Pardon?
Krishna has no periphery.
Yeah, but he understands that you are a periphery. Every, even very little of this discipline, dharma, protects one from great fear. In fact, truly speaking, of all the dharmas, if you have this dharma, all other dharma automatically follows. What is this dharma? Being awake, being conscious. Do whatever you do is not important. Are you doing it consciously is important. Dan, I'm giving dan, not important. Do it consciously. Jo bhi karenge, if you do it consciously, then there is no expectation. And even if very little awakening is there in you, there is no fear at all, because jitna expectations, utna fear. Utna mein, in fact, 10 times more fear. Zero expectations, absolutely no fear. The day you get married, you are worried. You have expectations. Then the whole life is stress. Scared, you are scared. whether he will leave me, whether she will leave me, whether he will live, whether I will die before he will die. You are constantly scared. The son is born, you don't enjoy. You are worried. I hope he lives longer than me. I hope I don't lose it. As we have mentioned before, if it is a struggle to come to a status, worse is maintaining a status quo. Because you want to be in that status and expectations run amok. The mind runs amok when there is no direction set by the intellect. And then you destroy yourself. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.